Today's episode is brought to you by Cars.com. With over 2 million vehicles and 50,000 more added every day, Cars.com will match you with the perfect car for you, your budget, your life, your style. And if you're ready to say goodbye to your current car, Cars.com will get you an instant offer to cash it in. Just start by entering your license plate and get matched with a local dealer who will write you the check. So whether you're looking to buy or sell, just go to Cars.com. It's magical.
Welcome back. We're back. Starting Five Podcast with Grissy, Brad Blues. I am the One Piece Shark.
I am at underscore Sky Lady on Twitter. Shitty, don't do that. Don't you start today. Please don't do that today. We don't have time for you to play it today.
Yo, what's good, everybody? This is Guy Trevor, a.k.a. the 3&D guy, a.k.a. the corner man, a.k.a. Trillin' Brooks. What's good, everybody?
What's going on, man? It's Mr. Ten Fingers himself. It's really Shitty passing down to the big fella down low.
What's going on, guys? At Tab Shakir, man. I know I'm a man of multi-talent.
And lagging is one.
You know, you got to do what you got to do sometimes.
Shitty is in real form already. We ain't started.
Shitty has some posters. That's what he had. Good.
I wish I was a host. I could mute him and wait till he lags back, so he ain't even discussed. Me though too.
Not him lagging back.
All right, man. But before we get started, of course, man, we be on a little bit of a hiatus. We did come back a couple weeks ago. Then we went on another little hiatus. But guess what? Season is back now. We about to have stuff to talk about, right? Preseason, media day is happening. Preseason about to start, season is starting. So we about to be right back here, y'all, man. So hopefully y'all didn't leave and went away from us, man. We still here. Starting Five Podcast, man. All the other different podcasts. We got a network. Be sure to check them all out. We still got GBB Live. Core 4 is back. Next Gen Podcast and Grease the Bear Bets. So if you need any bets to go, I think he's going to do it on game days. So please check out the other podcasts on the network as well as our Starting Five Podcast. But before we move forward to our topics, did want to give a shout out to the guests we did have this summer to kind of keep us going. They helped us out a lot. So our good friend Jaden Wallace, Grizz in-house broadcaster, probably more famous, notorious for that video. I think whichever playoff game we had lost, he twerked. I guess against Minnesota,
he needs to change his name to the Twerking Grizz on Twitter. I'm gonna reach out to Jalen and be like, bro, you need to change your name to this.
Slick might work,
right? So he definitely had his viral moment, man. But shout out to our guy Jalen, man. Also, we had my guy Isaac Simpson, man, podcast for Grizzlies Ethos podcast, man. Good guy, man. Know his Memphis Tigers stuff and on his Memphis Grizzlies grind as well. Of course, y'all might know him a lot on Twitter for all the arguments here stuff, and he'll get with it on Twitter. But hey, good guy, man. Good guy. Also, man, Jason Smith, the legend himself, from 929 ESPN. 929 ESPN, man. Jason Smith, man. Really good, great episode. Really good. Really good, man. Really smooth guy. Man, that was definitely a great get for us to get him on the show. My guy Chris Ingram, like I said, he's a former high school teammate of mine. Went to high school, both me and Skylar. He's a writer at Grizz Lead. Also does a podcast with those guys as well, man. Shout out to my guy Chris Ingram. He's a follow on Twitter. I give all the Twitter it's to follow at the end of the show. And EJ from Grindhouse Grizzly Spaces. He will definitely be back this year after the Grizzlies games. He will be hosting the spaces. Really clean spaces, really good guy. In some form of fashion, all these guys will probably get them back on at some point in some form or fashion. But moving forward to what we're about to get into. We're about to start all our player previews at the Blog Network. Be sure to check out my article coming up this Friday about Ziaire Williams, and there's a player we're actually about to discuss on this show today. But y'all already know, a lot of people used to have smoke with us before last season about Mr. Triple J, Jaren Jackson Jr. himself. So that's who we're going to have to preview because...
Shitty favorite player.
Yep. And it's actually Triple J, not Triple L, Sheedy. He made first-team all-defense. He's doing a little more than what Bam Adebayo is doing in Miami.
Those are fighting words. Those are some harsh words.
That here. Was some cute. Shots.
I like that. I felt the heat there. That was some heat there if you catch my drift.
What's the Triple H cousin, ain't it?
But, man, get into it, man. Of course, Triple J last year, first team all defense. Argument, he could have been defense player of the year, but he didn't even make the finalists of it, the top three. But I think he was in top four or five of voting. But he did make the first team all defense. They tried to jump a rumor, but he just got it. had a really good year on defense. Offense, he numbers did slack some. He did play 78 and start all 78 games. He did play, I think the games he missed were rest. So this is his first fully healthy year. His shooting percentage, shot 41.5%. Shot 31% from three. Those are all career lows. Average 16.3 points a game. His rebounds did go up. Still not to probably I like him, but 5.8. That means he did improve from the fours. He at least in the fives, close to the sixes. So that means he's getting somewhere. So going to his age, I think 23 season. Let me double check that real quick. Yep, he has just turned 23 12 days ago from this day. We're recording on September 25th. His birthday was September 15th. He just turned 23 years old. So come to the season, he is hurt to start the season, half foot surgery on the offseason. Go fit the reports, he could be back as early as Thanksgiving. Potentially, he might not be back until the end of the year. But going to the season, and of course, our expectations, things we want to work on, kind of got pushed back because the injury, but we'll see if he can actually work on those things. But what are y'all expectations for Jaren Jackson Jr. this coming season?
Well, I would definitely expect for those rebound numbers to go up. I heard you say that they increased, but for them to increase and him still be below, sub six rebounds a game is not that good. But nonetheless, at the end of the day, I'm just, I'm looking for him to continue what he did on the defensive end. You know, Jaren Jackson, to your point, Sharky, was first team all defense. He led the Grizzlies, a lot of times late into those games, especially late in the fourth quarter. With his presence in the paint, whether it was blocking shots, just altering shots, and so if nothing else, I'm looking forward to him to continue that. But then I would kind of also hope, in some form or fashion, that he offensively can develop a better post game. If we've been there, in my opinion, he has one to two go to moves, and that's it in the post. So what I would like for him to do as well. Is to kind of tone it down on the three balls a little bit, and just refine it and taper up that post game to where there is an inside presence when and if the Grizzlies just cannot absolutely buy a shot from outside. If you have somebody on your team where you can just dump the ball to in the post and get you a couple baskets where your team is struggling, I feel like those teams can in some form or fashion make it far in the postseason. So I'm hoping that he can kind of do that. Amongst those things, but I'm looking forward to a great season for him and hope he returns back.
Yeah, to Skylar's point, part of the reason Jaren's numbers were down this year was because he shot a lot more threes this year than he did in previous seasons, which of course can be a main factor in his numbers being down and things of that nature. But what I'm expecting from him also is to continue to develop on the defensive end. We saw how well he was able to play on that side of the ball. Of course, warrants the first team all defense nod for him as well. So just want to see him continue to develop there. You see how much of a difference he makes on the defensive side of the ball, how things are different for the Grizzlies. As far as the offensive side of the ball, just a little bit more of an awareness as to where you are and your abilities on the floor, maybe that comes with him developing the post game, because there are times where he's out there on the floor, he's just sitting at the three-point line, and he literally has the mismatch or he has the advantage to where the Grizzlies can help make things go and get easy baskets. And I think that's been an issue for him per se, because a lot of times he's not always around the rim. And so I mentioned earlier, he's jacking up a lot of threes. So we just want to have just for him to have a little bit more awareness of where he is on the floor, where he can get his shots and things of that nature. Because just if you saw just last season in the series against the Warriors, like, granted, it was sparingly, but he was giving Draymond some work. So, like, there were times where Jaren could have been the best player on the floor on the offensive side of the ball for the Grizzlies. It's just we never saw it. We never saw that dog just decide to come out of him. So, just develop a little bit more of awareness on the offensive side of the ball, just knowing that you're if you're the mismatch, call for the ball. That's basically what I'm saying as far as awareness is concerned. His rebounds got up to 6. I would like to see that to get up to 8, because I think 8 to 10 is okay for a big man. Skyler may disagree with me, but I think 8 to 10 is a pretty decent
You know that that's not happening.
He improved this season from last season. So if he can get 2 more, then that's fine. That's all I'm asking him to do.
Marcus all only averaged like 6 to 7 rebounds. I just want him to at least get there.
if he can get the eight, I'm good. But
8, he's going really good.
Yeah, if he can get the 8, I'm straight. But in the end, just continue doing what you're doing on the defensive side of the ball, and then just develop that awareness on the offensive end to where you can, if you have the mismatch on the floor, there should be no reason why the ball shouldn't be coming your way and you shouldn't be getting the easy baskets.
Yeah, for I'll call him Jaren. That's his name. Jaren will need to show me more, to people's point, that's all I rant. I want to see more work within, not even just the scheme of the offense, to your point, Trevor, but just, you know, back to the rim, got that in the paint type of area to make him more, I don't want to say a more elusive scorer, but just a better scorer, a more efficient scorer is the words I'm looking for. We don't need him jacking up threes. We need him to play in the flow of the offense. Defensively, he's giving you much more every single year. The one thing we will want to do defensively is stay out of foul trouble. And I think another thing that I would like to see him grow on besides that is maturity. You can't be down and out because, you know, you got 2 fouls or you're getting taken out of the game for your 3rd or 5th foul. I think the mindset switch for him is definitely necessary. And I will say this, I believe that Jaren is a top 8 power forward in the league. What is that saying? I mean, to be honest, if you look at everyone that's won a championship ring in the past decade or so, they've needed a strong power forward to anchor their team, whether it's Draymond, whether it's Giannis, whether it's been Pascal Siakam at times, even Kevin Love was around. And so am I asking Jaren to extend there? Yes. If you want to see a championship run, yes. Will it happen? No, not this season. But again, an increase, 1 or 2 rebounds more a game, getting more shots closer to the rim, but within the flow of the offense and maturity. Am I asking Jaren something that he cannot do? I don't believe so. This is also supposed to be the 2nd best player on the team, a cornerstone piece of the franchise is what Memphis Grizzlies Twitter tells me. And so I'm going with the flow of them and saying, if this is my cornerstone piece, if this is an untradeable piece, when Kevin Durant or someone else comes available, then he needs to be able to ascend to a certain level above the $100 million we're paying him. That's just me. I'm just looking at it from a number standpoint, which are just stats and facts to back me up. I'll go ahead and give it down to the other big fella that can probably teach him some things in the paint. Big fella, what you got?
No, I just got a question for you, bro. How much did it take out of you for actually calling him by his name?
At least 24 minutes.
So the key word in this whole conversation is maturation, maturity, if you will. You hit the hammer right on the head. So kudos to you about that. But maturation is what we would love to see from Jaren. What I mean by that is y'all hit the hammer on the head. As far as everything offensively, we like to see from Jaren. Of course, better shots taken outside of the three, but more just efficiency, more efficient, more effective. Because we did see that, what he was able to do against Draymond in the Warriors playoffs. And we like to see that because he does get that mismatch more times than often. Like, he's 6'11", 7 foot at this point. He got a mismatch on damn near everybody, you know what I'm saying, at this point. So I just say, like, just get more efficient. But I say maturation on defense as well, because if you look at a player I compare him to defensively is Serge Ibaka, right? Serge Ibaka led the league, or was close to leading the league, almost every year in blocks, but statistically was one of the lower players who would defend the paint. You know what I'm saying? He was one of the worst defenders. Like, of course, he blocks up, worst defender. Not saying that's Jaren, but I think that maturation can help him not become a Serge Ibaka. That's what I don't want him to see. Like I said, Serge Ibaka, he was all right, but he used to stay in foul trouble a lot too. Serge Ibaka, he'll get, you know, two blocks a game, but he'll slack off the next, you know, couple plays defensively. I used to see it with my own eyes. So that's all I want to say about Jaren Jackson, just maturation, maturing your game, and come back healthy, bro. Like, the best ability is availability. Just come back healthy.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, coming back healthy is really big. And honestly, what he did last, because of his injury, a lot of things we want him to work on, with it being a foot injury, he can't work on it, right? He can't work on post moves, all the additional stuff with sitting down because it's a foot injury. So, and he's coming back during the season. So my expectation is really to kind of replicate what he did last year. What's probably going to happen is he's going to get more respect on defense from the foul standpoint. He'll make a first team all defense. That typically happens. The referees, because he gets a lot of, for as many mistakes, dumb stuff he do, he also get a lot of bad whistles. Those bad whistles would be less because he made first team all defense. He'll get that respect now. So some of those crazy fouls that they call, you like, what? He'll get those calls. So it'll kind of, the dumber fouls won't be as, you know, big because he won't have as many fouls. So I expect that. My main thing with him, since he can't work on like getting additional post moves and stuff, I mean, technically he could, but it's hard with a foot injury. You ain't contacting all this stuff. I would hope he gets more aggressive, right? It's a lot of times where he'll be at the 3-point line and he could take, he's not like a terrible dribbler. He could take his man off the dribble, like face up and go, like, you know, things like that. So I need him to kind of, if you can't work on the post move stuff, especially with him getting, now he can get more strength. We did want him to get stronger. Him being sitting down, he can't get stronger. So hopefully he's doing that. If you can get that, take your man off the dribble and start being more aggressive. Take those comments that Clay said. That's why I love what Clay said when he called him a bum. Like, I need Jaren to hear that and say, okay, I got a bum for you. Like, I need that, right? That's what we need. We need the dog. If he can get that in him and get some form, it ain't got to be full out, blown. Like, it just, we need the experts. Like, we just need to see more of that in him. And I think he'll be just fine. So my expectation with Jaren is kind of replicate what he did last year, but get a little more aggressive, trying to find a shot on offense, taking players off the dribble.
This is advertiser content brought to you by Frito-Lay.
Hello, I'm Chip Murphy, here to get you ready for the big tournament. Tonight we break down who will be cutting. Cut! What are you two doing?
Sorry, Chip. Prez here got his feathers ruffled when I told him Ruffles has zero chance of winning the title.
And I was letting Dip know that she is not taking into account Ruffles' iconic ridges.
Guys, it's March. We have to start talking about the tournament.
We are. It is the 2023 Frito-Lay Snack-It.
We're talking about big-time matchups between Cheetos, Smartfood, Lay's, Sun Chips, and more.
Just head to the Frito-Lay Snack Bracket and vote for your favorite chip, pretzel, or dip for a chance to win up to $1,000 or a year's worth of snacks.
This sounds great. Keep up the good work.
Just go to Frito-LaySnackIt.SBNation.com. No purchase necessary. Sweepstakes ends 4/3/2023. Void where prohibited. Here's worth of snacks awarded in the form of 52 coupons, each good for one bag of chips. See official rules at Frito-LaySnackIt.SBNation.com.
And moving forward to Zaire. All right, y'all. Zaire, remember last year when we drafted him? We all came in this podcast. We all, you know, it wasn't the greatest pick.
We questioned the pick. It's okay. I hope you're out there. We questioned the pick.
Man.
I questioned going up to get him. I didn't question him. I questioned him going into the top 10 to draft him. I didn't have a problem with the Grizzlies taking him. Like I said, I think he would have been there at 17, but you know, it is what it is.
That's what we all
questioned the pick as well, too.
Yeah. That's literally what we all
questioned. I mean, literally. Okay.
In his most simplest form.
There you go. We'll keep it simple.
Okay.
Man. But Zaire, rookie year, going to start off a little slow. He definitely was definitely development stage, but he definitely was more of a surprise why he did his rookie year, especially considering he had to start 31 games due to Dylan Brooks being – out for a lot of the season. So Zaire, he finished the season. He started 31 games, played 62 total, and he had an injury. He came back after the injury. He said he's done a lot this offseason, working out with Desmond Bane. He studied Desmond Bane a lot, seeing how he grew, seeing his growth in the league. He averaged 21 minutes a game. That was way more than we probably thought. Like you said, trading up to number 10 to get him. We like, y'all trade up to number 10 to get a player that probably ain't even gonna play as much. You know, y'all gonna try and play him because y'all did trade up to get him, but 21 minutes a game. A lot of that, like I said, DB got hurt, but he took advantage of his opportunities and got better. He shot 45% from the field and 31% from three. That's actually better than how he started out the season. Those numbers were like, I mean, his 3-point percentage was horrible. It was horrific. So he up to 31% and getting to the playoff form when he was hitting, you know, clutch threes against Golden State definitely showed you that the potential was there. He averaged 8 points a game. Like I said, coming out the bench, 21 minutes a game, 8 points a game as a rookie, and especially as a rookie who we questioned to pick, that's, you know, he did really good. So, and we all talked about in this offseason, we all saw him in the summer league. Up and down, he started off a little slow, had his moments. Of course, they tried to force him on the ball. I understand, because you're trying to get him to develop his game a little more. So what are y'all thoughts and what y'all think the expectations for him coming up this season? What y'all expect from Zaire this season?
I love exactly how you put that because, again, as we just stated, we questioned that pick. And so to see the amount of minutes that he played, to see, to your point, Sharky, the clutch threes that he made in postseason games, he was closing out games throughout the season and the postseason. So to get all of that out of a first-year rookie, I think was amazing to see. And so if you're asking me what I'm looking forward to next season, is an improvement from all of that. I just want to know that you're working on your jump shot. I want to know that you're getting stronger in the gym. I want to know that, you know, that you're watching tape and you can become one of the better defenders, if not the best defender on the team. So essentially that's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for that 31% 3-point field goal percentage to come up to maybe 35, 36. I'm looking for those 21 minutes points per game to come up from 21 to maybe 25, 26. I'm looking for him to see, can he be one of the best defenders on the team? Again, he has that big long frame. I think he's 6'8", wingspan over 7 feet. And so I feel like with that type of frame, you should be able to play defense against anybody. We call it, if we're being real about it. And so definitely understand that, you know, he's super young into his career, but I think he's smart enough, and I think he can be hungry enough with how hungry this team can be able to play defense at the level that I think he can play. So I'm just looking for all of that to, you know, to take a step further to say, okay, we saw what he was as a rookie, but like, damn, what a coming out party for sure that he had in his second year, which I think we've been able to, in a lot of ways, say that about a lot of people on this team, whether it's John Morant, whether it's Jaren Jackson, whether it's Desmond Bane, whether it's, you know, whomever else. Everybody has been able to take that big step in their year two, year three, to make everybody excited about the moves that this team has been making. So I don't see where he does not make all of it. So I think Zaire gives us what I'm asking for. And then again, that gives us another notch in the belt to say what was last year was not a fluke. What they're doing in this upcoming season is really a continuation for what we saw last year.
Yeah, absolutely. So my thoughts on Zaire are this. A very solid rookie campaign last season for the Grizzlies. Just like the rest of us on this podcast, we did question the pick. Very strong outing while Dylan Brooks was out of the lineup with his injury. Of course, started off slow, but of course, with most rookies, you know, that typically is the thing with them as they're getting adjusted to the NBA games a lot quicker than it was in college and things of that nature. So him hitting some big shots in both playoff series, now that I think about it, against Minnesota and Golden State, were huge for him going forward. For me, it's similar to Skyler, but he didn't want to say it, so I'm going to go ahead and say it. My thing for Zaire is, can he take the next step towards becoming the sixth man for the Grizzlies? Let's just keep it a buck. With De'Anthony Melton and Kyle Anderson departing in free agency. Well, De'Anthony Melton departing it via trade and Kyle Anderson departing in free agency. Essentially, you took a hit in your rotation, because remember, we raved last season about how deep this Memphis Grizzlies team was. And we're going to feel the effects of those two not being in the rotation anymore. So my challenge for Zaire is, can you take the necessary steps towards becoming the sixth man, or maybe becoming the starter? We don't know how things are going to be going down the line, but at least right now, in the immediate future, can you take those necessary steps to at least, if not become a sixth man, at least become the seventh man coming off the bench for the Grizzlies? Want to see those numbers up. Shooting 45% from the field was pretty nice in your rookie campaign. Let's try to keep it at that. Skyler's point, let's see his three-point percentage go from 31 to maybe 35. I'll settle for 34 if he's making taking a lot more and making more. But, yeah, in the end, as long as he's doing what he's been doing, his rookie campaign, because I think he's going to get a lot of more – he's going to get slightly more attention, but he's going to get a lot more shots as well. He's going to get a lot more easier shots now as he moves up the rotation. But, yeah, in the end, can you develop into, if not the sixth man, at least the seventh man off the bench for the Grizzlies?
For me, Zaire, Williams is your replacement for Dylan Brooks. Dylan Brooks, if we don't see – what we need to see from Dylan Brooks, he's gone. And Zaire has proven that he can step into that role and fill it. If we're going to ask me what I look forward to this season, I would say consistency from the previous season to this season. Yes, he was a rookie. We know many rookies sometimes fall into a slump their second year. And so as much as I would love to see him do better, if you can stay where you were at last season, I would enjoy that. And I think that would lead to more time as well. Also, I remember a lot of these points and shots that he took and, you know, were created. He was going against first team players on respective teams. So now coming off the bench, he should be doing more, right? He should have more of a confidence boost going into this season. I hope that happens for him. And so he should be scoring more, but I don't want him to also force himself into doing those things, because he's going to force himself back onto the bench. And as a young, what is he, maybe 20, 21, I don't know if he can buy me a drink on Bill or not. However, regardless of that, I just want to see him stay consistent. And I think he's proven his worth defensively as someone coming off the bench, because there's not going to be those Steph Curry's, Luka Doncic, you know, type of players out there every time when he goes out there now. He's going to be going against, you know, not the so-called the second team of most teams. And so, again, it's about building his confidence up so that he is at more of a Desmond Bane level. Scoring with Tyus as well, coming off the bench, you know, let's see how that 1-2 punch can kind of go for us moving forward. But again, this year to me will be, do we keep Dylan or do we replace Dylan because we drafted so high for him? Because again, we signed Dylan for what, 3-year, $33 million contract. And to Dylan's point, I mean, he's worth the $33 million we signed him for, if you want to be honest, because without him, we wouldn't make the playoffs the other time when we had the play-in scenario with the defense that he played. And so to me, it's just like, hey, what can Zaire produce that Dylan can or cannot? And can we develop with Zaire and move on and trade? To me, I always like to trade when they're high. So trading Dylan Brooks before the trade deadline will be great if it's not working out with that.
Yep. So with Zaire, man, y'all hit the hammer on the head with everything. When he was drafted, I didn't like it, but I did not like it. You know, it was one of them. It was like, okay, the Grizz traded up to get him. They must have liked and seen something, right? Trev, you hit it on the head when, you know, you referred to him as, can he be a six man off the bench, which is what we're hoping for this season. Last year, averaging 8 a game. I think if he can get to, you know, about 12, 13, 14, we'll be in a much better shape than we was last year. And I think he can do it. I think the confidence that he got playing in the playoffs will help him. And also, I think that, you know, with Dylan, this could be Dylan's last year. You know what I'm saying? I always refer to Zaire as the small four for the future. So hopefully the Grizz can, you know, get that out of him soon, which I think they will. Especially when trading Kyle Anderson, you know, and, you know, not keeping Culver, you know, because that was my biggest thing. Like, you drafting a four, but you got Kyle Anderson, you got Culver, and you had a bunch of other small fours as well that came into the Grizz last season. So I think the Grizz will look at them, this organization, as, you know, 6-7 man, come and average, you know, do your thing off the bench. And, you know, I think his play will determine whether or not we keep Dylan. Or rather yet, what we get back for Dylan. I think that'd be key as well. But Zaire, the ball is definitely literally in his court. We get a lot of success from second-year players with this Grizz program. You know, and at this point, I'm not doubting any draft, you know, member that Grizz get at this point until proven otherwise.
Well said, man. Same, picking back off what y'all said, kind of just expect Zaire. Just keep taking steps. I don't need him to become a superstar, right? I mean, that's what a lot of people feel like this offseason. Like, we saw what Desmond Bane did, and we was like, hey, we need Zaire to do the exact same thing. Like, yeah, it's different players, man. Like, Zaire is also younger, right? It's going to take even a little more time. But the fact that he was already building it, what all of us on this podcast thought coming into last season, that, hey, it's, you know, we're playing house money now. Like, if he just improve some, which I believe he will. I know I heard a report out of camp. I want to say, I think it was on Chris Vernon's show. I heard they said he looks bigger, like more like cut, right? So that was a thing, like him being really slim and skinny, him gaining some pounds. I know they had him on a calorie type of diet where they were trying to make him gain more pounds. So if he's gotten bigger and gotten a little more solid, a la how Mike Conley did that one off season when he was really slim and came back and kind of got ripped and cut a little bit, that's a help, right? So I just need him to I would say I want him to take a starting spot, right? I want him to force their hand, and with Jaren being out, that's gonna ahead start him and Dylan at a 3-4, right? Let's try like force the hand, right? I
would Dylan at the pole.
Yeah, I would love to see that. But I also need something to come out the bench as well. So we might need him to come out the bench. Or if you could talk Dylan to taking a six-man role, it's probably too late for that. Because it's been about 4 or 5 years. It's probably a little too late for that. But
as the veteran on the team, yeah, it's too late for that.
Yeah, it might be just a little too late for that. Now, but Zaire could just be the bucket, kind of be a bucket get out the bench. That's probably what we need him for, and just go ahead and then get the big man rotation. We'll talk about in a second, going at the four. In a different direction, but Zaire, man, keep improving. Like I said earlier, get that 3-point percentage up a little bit more. Give me a couple more rebounds, 2 rebounds a game. He's what, 6'9", 6'10". I ain't gonna say you need to be Jaren. What we want from Jaren, but you need give me a little more. Two. We need you to give us 4, and Jaren to give us 7. Right, that's what we need. yeah. Hey, I'm about to say the sky's the limit. It might be. I mean, Zaire is there, right? He showed us a lot, man. I really believe he can be a really good part of this future, Scott.
Yeah, and the thing about it is, I think, like, what we're all asking of him to do, I think he can do. And to be completely honest, I'm at a point in my life where, like, I'm just good on Dylan Brooks. I'm good on that. Like, I've seen what he is, and what he is cool, but it's frustrating as hell. And so, like, I don't need a repeat of last year. In no shape or form do I need a repeat of what Dylan Brooks did last year. So because I don't want that, and because I believe Zaire Williams can do what we're all what us five are asking him to do, I'm hoping there's a scenario in which Dylan Brooks is traded before the deadline. I'm super cool with him being on the roster as we end the regular season, as we get ready for the postseason line. I'm good on that. So I'm hoping that plays out in that exact same way I just mentioned.
Let me ask y'all a real question, because it's a touchy subject, but y'all know how I feel about Dylan Brooks. How is it possible for Ja Morant, Desmond Bain, even Jaren Jackson and Zaire Williams, is it possible for them to progress offensively with Dylan Brooks on this team?
But Ja and Desmond did last year. So
yes, 100%.
But Dylan did get hurt. He missed a lot of time last year to that point as well. But even when he played, although he still jacked shots, Bane and Josh still got theirs. So the real question is, can Jaren?
No, I mean, we still got Zaire. We still got, you know, other rookies coming in from the bench.
That's what I'm saying. Like, really, Jai Bane.
It's more so on Jaren.
Can Jaren?
So turns to Jaren is more so than Jai and Desmond Bane. Because they're going to get theirs regardless. And
yeah,
think Dylan about ain't better shot than he ain't like. So you know them FGAs is going up. So
think about why I asked earlier about Jaren. Why I say I want Jaren to be more aggressive. Is it Dylan Brooks? Like, is it like Dylan Brooks jacking these shots? So he like, okay, I'm finna jack these threes too. That we never thought of that. Like, there could be a scenario in that. It may play into how Jaren does. Yeah. So it might take Dylan getting traded for Jaren to get to what we want him to get, type of thing. It might take him getting traded for Zaire to take even a bigger step. But to start the season, we're gonna need him because Jaren is out. So
yeah.
Cheating.
Because what you don't want to do is you don't want to go through this season and come to the conclusion that Zaire is not there yet, and then you move on from Dylan Brooks. Now you got to try to find somebody and possibly overpay for somebody in free agency when you're trying to get all your nuggets together to re-sign Desmond Bane. So that's the worst case scenario that you don't want to happen if you're Memphis.
Unless I just got a notification live during the show that they have mutually agreed, Phoenix and Jay Crowder, that he's getting traded. He's not even showing the training camp. Yeah, I know that's Joe. That's Joe Mudd next, you know, former site manager, favorite guy, right? You know, he can't stand him, so he can't stand him, Jay Crowder, boy. But that might be the move to make. And Chris Vernon said he would trade Dylan Brooks for Jay Crowder.
Make that John happy.
I would too.
I would not trade Dylan, honestly. If I get him and keep Dylan, I'll be cool, because I think Jay will reel him in, to be honest with you. I think Jay will kind of reel the whole thing in.
Being real, I wouldn't. I agree with you, Trevor. Right now, I would not make that move. Right now, I wouldn't.
No.
But if I'm Taylor Jenkins, if I'm the front office, and if I'm seeing to what Sharky just said, if I'm seeing Zaire Webson, if I see him getting bigger, if I've seen him with my own eyes, I'm seeing him like, hey, this could be a good second year for that, you know, for him. If I'm seeing where, like, if I can find almost enough reason to say Dylan Brooks is good, or what I miss with trading Dylan Brooks, and am I going to get that in Zaire Williamson? I think the moment you see that, in my opinion, you make that go. I'm sorry.
It's not the moment. It's got to be consistency. Come on now. Consistency is key.
Right. And I'm saying that's in the moment. Yeah. I'm not, of course, you're not going to, you know, after two games, you'd be like, oh, no, let's get him out here. But
no, I got it.
If I see it over, I don't know, if I see it within the first couple weeks of the season, I'm like, hey, bro, I'm getting on the phone. And Jay Crowder may be gone at that point, but I'm not saying it needs to be for Jay Crowder. But again, I'm just super good on what I saw last year from Dylan Brooks. And so if Zaire Williams is giving me exactly what I want, if that 3-point percentage is coming up, if he's defending it at a pretty high clip, what I need Dylan Brooks for at this point? That's just me.
I'm with you. I'm with you.
Just keeping it real.
So I would already have done this trade already.
Jay Crowder
solves your issue of who's going to start at your four. I cannot remember exactly. I know, Cap, you might have the stats pulled up. But in the 31 games that Zaire Williams played, I'm sure we were above 500 with him as a starter. You tell me, Ja, you tell me, Desmond Bane, Zaire, Jay Crowder, he's not coming to this team or any scenario. I don't think he's going to any scenario not going to be trying to be a starter. And Steven Adams to start the season until Triple J gets better, and then you work it out from there. It is what it is. Yes, I did just call him Triple J. Again, that took a lot out of me as well.
Maturity.
But I would say do that now. And I don't know of another scenario right now that is equivalent to the Dillon Brooks salary of $11 million that you'll get a worth of. Jay Crowder's worth is worth to me that $11 million that Dillon is receiving. Jay Crowder doesn't jack up shots. He's probably about 1 for 4, 1 for 5 every night. He's going to be – go ahead.
He did. Now, that's why Joe Mullenix don't like him. He did in Memphis. But,
yeah,
again, that was a different team, right? That was a different team where
– it was.
We didn't mind it.
I trust him shooting about in Dillon.
Yeah, because
– well, let's talk about the case.
I'm looking at the just now.
Let's call it what it is. Let's call it what it is. So would you rather Jay Crowder go 1 for 4 or Dillon go 3 for 12?
Crowder Jay go 1 for 4 so everybody else can shoot the damn ball?
Crowder that's not 8 shots.
What? Come on,
hey, he's good on defense as well. Yeah.
Come on, all right.
And Jay Crowder, and he brings that other veteran experience, and he brings not even just veteran experience, but he brings finals experience.
Championship experience. Different teams. Right.
So I'm already on the phone with what ain't Dan Sarver anymore, but whoever the hell controlling the damn Suns, I need that trade yesterday.
My only thing about that is I don't know what Phoenix would – why would they want Dillon? Because they got Mikal Bridges. I guess he'll be the sixth man.
They got Mikal Bridges. It'll be the same situation.
I guess he'll be the sixth man.
If you can get Jay without having the part with Dillon, then you good.
Hey, unless they want
to
be
it takes Dillon to get them. Hey, it is what it is. I ain't opposed to it, but
because to your point, Trevor, the reason the trade kind of Chris Vernon thought about the kind of numbers with the contracts match up. But I would like Dillon if we get Jay, I would like Dillon at the 3, Jay at the 4. It's out here as 6 man, right? To start the season, then you trade Dillon later type of thing. That would be nice too. But if it takes them to trade him, we go ahead and start out here at the 3. Not opposed to that either. And kind of jumping into our next topic with. Preseason is coming up. Our first couple of games is we play Milwaukee this week, and we got Orlando next Monday. We're probably recording again for the Orlando game. But what do y'all want? What do y'all expect? What do y'all want to see in the preseason? I guess specifically from the rookies and battling for the four, the power forward position. What would y'all like to see from the Grizzlies this preseason?
Continue chemistry and camaraderie. I think that's all I want to see. I think we've seen that this Grizzlies team is probably one of the most close-knit group of the entire, NBA teams. And so I just want to see them continue that. I think, one thing that I think that's allowed this team to play really well is there's a true belief in one another. And so what we see that with the team last year, and then what I want to see with this new group is just that, them believing that, that – you were drafted for a reason. You were drafted to be on this team for a reason. And so we believe in your talent. All collectively, we work hard and we put in the time in the gym that we can do nothing but be able to alleviate some of the minutes or some of the struggles that the starting five or starting six or seven would have. Just being able to, give them some of those minutes. If somebody's hurt, it's not a huge drop off if John Morant is out or if Zaire Williams is out, if Desmond Bane is out. I just want to see them be able to, play well within themselves and then get that belief and then get those minutes where, when big time comes or when their time is called to, to get in the game, then they'll be able to do so and play well.
Yeah, in addition to that, I think Sharky mentioned it earlier is the small ball four. I want to see where possibly Jake LaRavia may fit in this rotation. Not saying that he won't crack the rotation, but something's telling me he actually would be better off as a small ball four than his natural position at the 3. With him being able to stretch the 4 and his awareness on both sides of the ball. So I'm kind of interested to see how they're going to use Jake as well as David Roddy for that matter as well, because they're both undersized for their position. But ultimately, it's just chemistry. Continue to build camaraderie and chemistry and try to carve out a role for these rookies if you can. So there you go.
Yeah, it doesn't mention who's going to be in those rosters yet, does it, Shark, in regards to who's going to go for preseason?
Yeah, it's been released. Are you talking about, who's going to start or –
right, like the roster that's going to – of course, no.
I know they're lineups. Yeah, they released the roster. I have to try to find it real quick, but All the players who were drafted this year, plus the same team for last year, my Jared Culver, Kyle Anderson, and Anthony Melton.
Personally, I don't know if this player is going to be part of this preseason. I agree with what has already been said by my two guard and my three guard so far. However, if, for instance, if this player is playing preseason, which to me could still use some work and some sharpening, and possibly can fill a void in the four, is Xavier Tillman. Now, I don't know, again, if he's going to be part of the preseason roster, but I felt like he's been on this roller coaster, but this roller coaster has been down a lot more lately. At first, when he came in, I felt like he was more of a spark, kind of hot. He went down. He found his way back up. But he's been real low, like below sea level for me. And I would love for him to climb out of that dungeon of his and gain some confidence, because there's now a spot and a chance for you to actually play a lot more with Jaren being out for the start of the season. So why not prove your worth, so to speak, and be a part of this team for the long term before, you know, you find yourself on a different team and we say, hey, listen, we're not going to extend your contract past this amount of time because Xavier Tillman's not producing anything. For me, the last 30 games, I forgot he even played on the team. That's me personally. And so that's what I would like to see. I don't know, again, if he's on that roster or not, but what the big thing about losing last year was everyone said run it back, and we're not doubting the front office anymore. Like we just said earlier, whatever the front office saw, we're going to bring it in and bringing it all together. So that was my 5 cents to throw in there. There's a nickel.
You just had to get your little five fingers in, huh? But no, good point about Tillman. You brought up my exact
That's
point
what she said.
About Tillman. Shut up. you brought up the right points about Tillman, because that's literally a player that I was going to bring up as well. Like, we saw how Brandon Clark, we were talking about how Brandon Clark this time last year had taken a step back. And now we saw how he was able to perform and step up in the playoffs and do, you know, really define his role on this team. And I think now it's time for Tillman to do the same. Hopefully he can come back with more of a defined, you know, offensive game, maybe hit the corner three a little bit more. If he can just do that, that'll help out a lot. But that's my thing. David Rowdy apparently becoming a Grizz fan favorite as well. So him and Tillman, kind of the same players at this point. So, you know, Grizz got both of them. Let's see who can really, you know, survive of the fittest.
Yeah, so I think Tillman strictly a five with all these threes and fours we got. I'm ready to see what's about to happen. Who about to get his fourth spot? Are we about to make a trade? Is this going to be able to take it? Santi Aldama can piggyback off of us getting on him to him actually dropping 30 points. See what he can do to see if Jake LaRavia is going to step up. See if David Roddy going to step up. We got 1,000 forwards. I don't know who's going to be in this rotation, because when Jaren Jackson come back, a lot of these fours ain't playing.
Yeah, so we're looking like the Toronto Raptors time right now with all these forwards.
Now these guys be out for playing time. Not only the start, but for playing time when Jaren gets back. So I'm ready to see who kind of stands out. It's a bunch of first-round picks. Santi Aldama last year, Jake LaRavia, and David Roddy this year. Somebody out from three got to come out. We can't fail on three first-round picks.
I was going to say it, Shark. Somebody got to come out that doghouse.
Right. And also, what we was talking about Zaire, trading and dealing, it might depend on those three. If two of those three work out, that might be your call. So go ahead and start Zaire, Jake LaRavia, David Roddy. They're your backup three and fours. And you still got Brandon Clark, who, you know, go between four and five. And Tillman is always your, what's that called? He's your, anytime somebody's hurt, he can step in. When you need some type of matchup, like we did in the playoffs, you can step in. He's that glue guy that can kind of step in those different situations.
He's kind of looking like the Udonis Haslam of the team.
Nah, he a little more than Dion.
I'm trolling, Sheedy.
Don't need cheating to curse on this good, good podcast right here.
I'm trolling.
You said
an enforcer.
That means somebody that's just going to wear the polo for the season. Exactly.
But yeah, man, it's exciting, man. We're back. NBA season is right here. It's good. I'm glad to be back, man. Glad to be back talking grids with y'all guys. Excited, ready to see what the season is about to be about. And of course, man, I always follow us on Twitter at the starting five, number five, MEM, all the Grizzly Bear Blues, SBN Grizzlies. And check out all the articles that we're about to come out with, the player reviews and everything coming up at grizzlybearblues.com. And listen to the other podcasts on Network, GBB Live, Core 4, Next Gen, and Grizzly Bear Bets. Also, I did get Twitter accounts of all the guests I shouted out at the beginning. Jaden Wallace is Luke Sky underscore Wallace. Isaac is Isaac.
Shout out him getting married too.
Oh yeah, shout out to our guy. Yep. Oh yeah, just got married. Yep, 2 weeks ago, about 2 weeks ago, man. Yes, sir. Yeah.
Shout out Jalen Britton.
Yep. Shout out. Also follow Isaac at underscore NBA. Follow Jason Smith at Jason Smith 929. Follow guy Chris at Criman, C-H-R-I-M-A-N underscore. And follow guy EJ on two accounts. EJ2K19 is his personal account, and Spaces Grizzlies is the Grizzlies Spaces account that he does all the Grizzly Spaces after each game. Of course, you can always follow me at the one, D-A-O-N-E underscore P-Shark.
Oh, man, underscore Scott Leader on Twitter. And sorry, I could not let that. That's what she said, y'all. I really tried to, but I could not say that.
Yo, we back. I'm at the Art of Trevor. Of is still a preposition, so don't capitalize it.
I actually didn't know what I was going to say there, so it's just really shitty. Let's leave it at that. I'll get a polo, though.
Sometimes simple is best, brother. At Tab Shakir, man, appreciate y'all checking that out this week.
All right, man. As always, man, until next time, go Grizz.